You are listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 28, brought to you by actionfigureblues.com. I'm Scott, and with me tonight are...
Adam.
And Ben.
We're three guys living in Australia who collect action figures, statues, and other items from the worlds of comics and pop culture, and we like them so much we made this podcast just to talk about them. This episode, our Toy of the Week is the Club Infinite Earth Starman figure from Mattel, and our discussion topic is Overlooked and Overexposed. Here we are again, gentlemen, and how are we this evening?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, good.
Good. What have we all been up to this week? What about you, Adam?
Bit of a busy week, bit of time off work. Other than that, spending crap loads of money on final payments for bits and pieces of bathroom renovations.
Oh, yay.
The next installment of Captain Practical, and the timing belt and fan belt and spark plugs replaced on my car.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was another good expensive thing for the week.
Yikes. And what about you, Ben? What have you been up to?
Very quiet week for me. Nothing terribly exciting. I went and saw The Expendables 2, and I loved it. It was bad plot, cheesy acting, completely unbelievable action scenes, and yeah, loved it.
Exactly what you want from an Expendables movie.
It's absolutely everything you would expect from that kind of movie.
Very good. I had a really interesting experience this week. I was in at my local comic shop, All Star Comics in Melbourne, picking up my weekly stash and Father's Day goodies, which I'll talk about a bit later. And while I was chatting to Troy at the counter, this young guy came in with headphones in, and he heard me talking and then stopped and said, "I'm listening to you right now." And I said, "I'm sorry?" And he said, "You're from the Action Figure Blues podcast, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm listening to you right now."
So, wow.
Yeah. So that was a weird experience. But it gets even funnier. When we got chatting, it turns out that it was your mate, Jared, who works for the same section as you do and has...
Oh.
How small of a world is that? So he's actually given us feedback on the show before, and he lives in Melbourne and works and goes to All Star as well. So it was nice to meet him properly, but it was a very surreal experience.
Yeah, very cool. And hello, Jared.
Yeah, good day, Jared. Jared's not getting much sleep at the moment because he's got a 9-month-old baby. So, Maybe we should sing lullabies or something. I'm not sure. Fantastic. Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, so without further ado, let's get things started with some articulated news.
Big Jim's World of Adventure starring Big Josh with Talking Camp Pack.
Let's make camp.
Yeah, unload the Big Jim sports camper gear. Big Josh says...
Bring the boat. I'm fishing gear.
And you know the dinner will soon be here. Big Josh says...
Let's find some firewood.
Now this camp is looking like a good camp should. Big Josh with Talking Camp Pack is sold separately. Big Jim Sports Camper comes with fishing boat and gear from Mattel.
Before we get to our main features, we start each episode with a bit of news. Articulated News is where we discuss the latest events and announcements in the toy and collectibles world. We're not a comprehensive toy news service. These are just the stories that relate to things we're interested in and have caught our eye this week. And Ben, you're going first with our news, so over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We've got a couple of things from Diamond Select. They've put up some initial images of their Universal Monsters toys, and we've got the first three figures. That is the Phantom of the Opera, the Metaluna alien from the movie This Island Earth. That's that really creepy, big-headed alien with the pincer claws that freaked the bejeebers out of me as a kid. and the third one is actually the sort of the classic Invisible Man. And they look actually really, really nice. I'm really impressed. And Diamond Select Toys do have the license for those sort of classic Universal characters. And it's just nice to see a company actually making a bit of an effort with some of that classic stuff. So I'm sure we'll talk about this later in the discussion, but there's certainly a lot of classic properties out there that could really do with some action figure love. And so seeing Diamond Select actually make a bit of an effort is actually pretty good. And they're actually, as is not unexpected for Diamond Select Toys, you seem to get a pretty decent extra. The Phantom of the Opera comes with a ginormous organ. Just to keep this in the
hello.
Just to keep this clean, that by giant organ, I actually do mean one of those large piano things you find at the opera, etc. And the Metal Lunar Alien comes with like a segment of the spaceship too, so you get the sort of the wacky 50s kind of sci-fi looking.
I'm glad that you mentioned the name of the movie for that, because I have to say that didn't ring a bell for me at all, that freaky alien. But I think it might be because I've Googled this Island Earth right now, and I think it might be just because I've only ever seen it in black and white.
That's a good point.
You know, like, sort of the color thing didn't really mean anything to me, but now I've looked up the film, and looking at some black and white pictures of it, I definitely, you know, have either I've seen it or I know of it, but it's rather garishly coloured, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, as soon as I looked at the toys, I looked at the colours, and I didn't sort of flinch. But now that you mention it, you know, all those films were in black and white, and it's interesting that, you know, the old childhood memory just didn't seem to connect the fact that those colours are there. But I guess that's, you know, it's probably. Nothing jumps out at me like on the Metal Lunar Alien as being unusual. That's probably sort of how I would imagine it if someone asked me to describe it. But I think they look quite good. And continuing the monster love from Diamond Select Toys, we've actually got the announcement that they're doing a Munsters box set. But this particular box set is actually black and white. So you actually get the whole family, and it will save you actually buying all the figures individually. The only difference is that they are actually a black and white set. And it's interesting. The actual Big Bad Toy Store has a pre-order at $64.99, and you actually get five figures. However, Eddie and Marilyn sell normally as a two-pack, but that price is actually considerably cheaper than buying the four figures individually. So it's kind of, I don't know, a bit of a double-edged sword if you're after these figures. I mean, if you wanted the colour ones, you obviously have to pay that little bit extra instead of just picking them up in one fell swoop.
Yeah, see, I can almost see myself getting this box set because the black and white really appeals to me. I don't think... I saw the colour ones and I think they're great, but I wouldn't... you know, probably go for that. But the fact that it is a bit cheaper, that they are all together and you can display them in the box, the black and white actually grabs me. I quite like it.
Yeah, I've picked up quite a few sets as box sets. The NECA Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I just picked up the set. That was the colour set. I've also picked up things like Gears of War. I picked up the four main soldiers in a box set as well. And it certainly is convenient, that's for sure, and they do look good if you don't have the space to sort of take them out and display them with other stuff. You can just sort of put the box on the shelf and they look quite good. But I don't know, as we mentioned, Diamond Select Toys are pretty good with the extras. Like if you buy the individual Lily, she comes with the grandfather clock, and Grandpa comes with a little table that's covered with all these sort of scientific potions and books and... Mm. That sort of stuff, but I can't quite tell what's actually included in the black and white set, whether you get all of those extras. So that would be something to be careful of, I think.
Absolutely. Adam, any monsters or monsters love from you?
Well, not really, but I don't think I've seen any of those Universal movies, and Monsters was, kind of well and truly dated when I was a lad. Adam's family was also dated as well. Huh. But taking tenuous segue here, from the Munsters to the Adam's family, Then from the guy that plays Gomez Adams' real-life adopted son, Sean Astin, as a segue into announcing that there's Hobbit figures up for pre-sale.
That's not a tenuous link at all, is it?
If that's not belaboring, you know, the fact that I know something for once. There's quite a lot of these things, different varieties of ways you can purchase these things. There's a five-pack that gets you four dwarfs and Bilbo Baggins, and then there's a series of two-packs, and there's some individual figures. So you could get the two-packs are Bilbo and Gollum, Balin and Dwaylin, and Killy and Philly. apparently that's the only place you can get Balin is in a two-pack. So far, it looks like it's the only place you can get Gollum as well. The five-pack is, let's see, we've got Bilbo. I think we've got Thor and Oakenshield. I think you get Killy and Philly and Dwaylin. And then you can also get individual single figures of Bilbo, Gandalf and Thorin, and you can also get Bilbo, Gandalf and Thorin in 6-inch figures as well.
Ooh.
So I expect that 5-pack is really going to annoy a lot of people when they then realise that there are 2-packs and singles that allow them to get everything that was in that 5-pack.
You know, I thought it was bad enough trying to remember, you know, all of the Snow White dwarves and all of the Santa's reindeer names, but just trying to remember all those guys, those dwarves, it's just impossible. I can't tell them apart.
Yeah, I think having read Hobbit recently with my older child, having the sets of them like Balin and Dwaylin and Killy and Philly does help. So at least you've got some rhyming ones that give you a hand. But it will be interesting to see how if they actually make them distinguishable, you know, characters in the film or not. I don't know, Bridge Direct. I know when these were first announced, we talked about it then to say, not sure who they are. So, but they look good.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me is they've only listed the 3 6-inch figures at this stage. So I'm hoping that's kind of just a wave one type situation that we will actually get more, because you could quite easily end up being sucked into, you know, a quarter of a team, so to speak. We always comment about, you know, do we actually get all of the figures? And that's the reason I still haven't picked up the 6-inch Thundercats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're keeping an eye on you, Bridge Direct.
Mm-hmm. And you've got something else as well, Adam?
Yep. It's Series 48 of the Marvel Minimates. It's a Fantastic Four base. So there's the sets are Mr. Fantastic and Puppet Master, Flamon, Human Torch and Blaster, Invisible Woman and a Moloid, and Alicia Masters and a Moloid. So I think they're going for a bit of a John Byrne love kind of set there.
I'm loving that Mr. Fantastic with the stretchy neck and the groovy fists. That's just
clever, fantastic. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's clever. Yeah, this line just keeps going and going. I really like the Blastar too, but just to get to, you know, characters like Puppet Master and Alicia Masters, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, I don't think you've got any other format that you're ever going to see someone like Alicia Masters done in. Like, I could not expect to see that in, you know, Marvel Universe. And
no.
That's the only one I'd ever expect to see her in.
Oh, look, that, I mean, that's, you know, it really is significant. I mean, we can't even get an Alfred the Butler or a Commissioner Gordon out of Mattel, yet we're getting people like Alicia Masters. I mean, geez, that's very impressive.
Mm. And, I mean, obviously they've got a lot less tooling to work with, but I think that it says a lot about, you know, the line as well and just their knowledge of what collectors want. And this links a lot to our discussion topic later on that, you know, people, they want this. They want that sense of being able to really build a world in a universe, and I don't think anyone provides that better than Minimates has.
No.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, I've got a couple, going from the little tiny people up to big statue stuff, I've got a couple of bits of Bowen Designs news. The first is about a really great Bowen piece that none of us can have. yay. Bowen has a collector's club, which is limited to US residents because Bowen's agreement with Marvel is that the stuff that they sell directly can only be sold in the US. And they do some specific pieces that are available only to the club, which usually are different versions of pieces they've already done, and they've just announced that the Bowen Collectors Club exclusive for this year is a gold chrome original Iron Man, which looks fantastic. So I've never been super jealous of any of this stuff, but this is the first one that I've really looked at and gone, man, if my mother wasn't in America, I would almost consider living there just for this.
But the woman is scaring you off of collecting.
Oh, she scares me off a lot of things, don't you worry. I suppose, you know, it's the kind of thing that, I don't know, you probably could, I mean, saying this is available for purchase for club members. It's not that you get it because you're a member of the club, but it is an impressive piece, limited to 200 and not cheap, $350 US, so plus shipping, so not cheap, but definitely if you were a big Iron Man fan or a big original Avengers fan, something that, you know, you could definitely be tempted by.
It's very odd. I still don't quite understand why he never actually did a sort of that dull yellow color, as in the dull gold. He went from the gray and now he's done the gold chrome, but I thought he'd do more of a sort of a goldy yellow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that I had a look for that too, because initially I thought that he had, but yeah, we've only seen this in the silver, so it is, you know, a bit unusual. But I guess that's, you know, where something like this makes a good exclusive too for the club, because obviously they've got to provide some incentive for people to join. You do get a discount, I think, on purchases that you make through the Bowen side if you're a club member, but then there's got to give some incentive, and this is a pretty good one, I reckon. But then on some other Bowen news, there was a pre-orders open recently for a Bowen web exclusive of a faux bronze version of their Doctor Strange statue, and they've just announced that it didn't reach sufficient pre-orders to go ahead. So I personally am not into the faux bronze stuff at all, but I guess it's a bit disappointing for those that are. I don't quite get it myself, that what the attraction to the faux bronze stuff is.
I think, well, it's interesting because, I mean, I remember when the very first one came out and I thought, well, what's the point? Like, why would you get a statue of one of your favourite characters, you know, in just a dull bronze colour when you could actually have it in full colour? But I noticed the process has actually changed quite a bit, because the original ones that came out were just that. They were very much just a bronze colour. But now he's really added elements of colour into it, and some of them are actually quite spectacular. And I agree, while Doc's not for me, it's easily one of the best that they've ever done. Well, we're going to do.
Yeah, I own the original statue, and it is a really impressive piece, although perhaps a tiny little bit under scale with a lot of the Bowen stuff. Not super easy to display, because the cape is huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely would have been up there, but and some disappointed people, but obviously not enough to make it go ahead, which is a bit of a shame.
So the Mattel thermometer strikes again.
Yeah, except this one, you know, this is one where obviously they actually meant it, not just a, hey, we're going to make this anyway, but we'll try and scare you into, you know, giving us more sales by making you afraid this isn't going to happen. So still perhaps a bit different. All right, well, that wraps up Articulated News. We'll be right back with the next installment of the AFB podcast game, Name That.
Hey guys, it's your old friend Engineer Nerd coming back at you with the newest edition of Audio Name That. This week, recording from an undisclosed location. If you remember right from last time I was on, the sound was... While it may sound like something that might have been recorded out in my yard, I can tell you it wasn't. It is actually the Treehouse of Horror number one playset from The Simpsons, and that's the Raven calling. So if you guessed that, good for you. Now, on to this week's sound, which sounds something like...
Fly dagger! Man overboard!
But I can't swim!
And one more time.
My dagger! Man overboard! But I can't swim!
As always, if you have a guest, come on over to the Action Figure Blues forum and leave a guest there. Sometimes if you're pretty close, I'll give you a hint. And if you get it right, I award forum points there. So also visit TV and Film Toys and drop by and say hi. Talk to you guys soon. Peace out.
Beware the mutant-seeking sentinel.
Target identified. Mutant apprehended. Want to mix it up, big boy? My adamantine claws will get Rogue back.
I've always had trouble with man.
My optic blast will give him trouble. Firing projectile arm. Now, sentinel, you will be defeated.
Sentinel robot playset and X-Men action figures, each sold separately.
Now it's time for one of our feature segments, Toy of the Week. Each episode, we take turns looking at one toy or collectible in detail. These might be new releases, or we might talk about favorite or bizarre items from our collection. Now, I have got the Toy of the Week this week. We did have a comment from one of our faithful listeners a little while ago that we weren't covering enough DC items, and that probably is just a reflection of the amount and quality of DC stuff compared to Marvel, etc., that's out there at the moment. But I did decide to bring you a DC figure this week, and this is the Starman action figure from Mattel's Club Infinite Earths. And one of the reasons why I decided to do this was just so that I could say the proper name of this subscription rather than the other version that Ben always sprouts on here.
I don't get it.
So the last thing we want to do is put out there, you know, people going and asking for, I'm looking for that Club Infernal Crisis stuff you've got.
I heard it on the AFB podcast, so it must be true.
It must be true. Yeah, no, Club Infinite Earths, and this is Starman. Now, of particular interest to me, being a big Legion of Superheroes fan, but of course the reason that we got this figure in the subscription wasn't because of the Legion, really. It's because he's also had a role in the pre-New 52 Geoff Johns incarnation of the Justice Society. So I thought it was definitely something that was worth looking at. So just to give a very basic rundown, this was the July subscription figure, and it came in the new... I'm going to say Infernal Crisis. You've ruined my brain. The new Club Infinite Earths packaging, which I actually quite like this window box packaging that they've developed for the subscription. It's not big. It's not chunky. And it is reusable in that you can open it and take the figure out, but if you wanted to then inspect it and store it back in the window box, there's no twist ties or things that have to be cut or that make that difficult. I don't mind that packaging. This is a really interesting figure in terms of how I expected this to be made and how it's actually turned out. And one of the biggest things that really surprised me when I have this in hand is that for some reason they've made the figure out of a translucent plastic. So, you know, which, I mean, Starman's not particularly known for being see-through or having any kind of invisibility or intangibility, so I'm not quite sure why they did that.
I actually wondered whether it was to try and give the impression that instead of just being, you know, a black unitard with some spots on it, that you actually got the swirling of the cosmos, almost as if you could see the universe into him.
Okay.
Articulating it very well, but
yeah, I mean, I wondered if that was the case, because what they've done here, I mean, now obviously, Starman or Starboy in the Legion has this trademark costume that he's had a few different versions of, but, you know, going right back to the 70s of the white gloves and boots, but then a Starfield pattern on the black, unitard, I guess is the word, and then the JSA version added the mask as well. And I think that one reason why we might have this translucent plastic is because what they have done to try and achieve the Starfield effect is they've made this with obviously a glitter to the plastic, and so perhaps that's why it ends up being translucent. But it is a bit strange in that you can actually see, like, particularly his upper legs, his thighs are quite see-through, and so you can see all of the inner workings of the figure and the parts inside, which is a little bit distracting. And I guess my niggle with the glitter that they've used is that with what Geoff Johns did with this character in his Modern Legion stuff and JSA stuff was actually introduced the idea that Brainiac 5 created this costume of his as a map, and that the star patterns on his costume were not random, but they actually were a map of the cosmos with some particular significance in it. So if you follow that theory, then the glitter thing doesn't really work, because if you look at the way that he's represented in the comics, some of the stars are bigger than others, and there actually is some idea of a pattern to it. So I actually think it makes him look a tiny bit nondescript compared to what I, would like, because it's just all glitter and not specific enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't mind the effect. I don't have the character attachment that you do, being a member of the Legion, but I certainly think it looks good. One thing I actually found is I quite like the buck. I think as a customizer, this is a great buck for doing some generic figures.
Oh,
like
true.
If you want to do Marvel's, Blizzard or someone like that, it's perfect. But when you actually type it into eBay, you get three times as many results as you would expect, because you get the Ted Knight Starman and the Jack Knight Starman and the.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking you'd make an easy. Oh, actually, I won't say it because I might be able to use it as a custom comp idea someday. Never mind.
What's it look like in real life? Because, a lot of the images I'm seeing on the internet, it looks like he's either almost pitched, like, just straight black with glitter thrown at him, or he looks like he's a bit of a Coke bottle in places, like as far as the shading of some of it. Like, it looks like browny, colory colour.
Yeah, you're right on both counts. It is, depending on the light, it can just look like it's just black. But when you stand them in front of a little bit of light, there are sections that are quite translucent, like the legs that I mentioned, but you can see through his chest, and you can also, his head is quite empty as well. I guess
it's actually a fun figure to hold up to a very strong light, because when you hold him up to something quite bright, you really can see all the inner workings. It's quite interesting just to sort of see how the figure is actually tooled. But yeah, the Scott's right. Like, for example, just sort of holding him in natural light, because the gaps on his thighs are so big, because there's no joints in that particular part, you've got a very large surface of this translucent plastic, so you can see through that quite easily, as opposed to his chest, which is quite thick.
Now, one thing that we were uncertain of when this was first announced was whether or not there would be a swap-out head, because the version with the mask makes him a great part of a JSA set. And also, of course, this character has this version of the character has its origins back in Kingdom Come. So for a Kingdom Come set as well, the mask works fine. But really, to make his make it work for being part of the Legion, he was never shown with the mask in the Legion, and most commonly with the bearded head. So we got the unmasked head as well, which was something that Mattel listened to in terms of the feedback from the fans. But also, I think it's something that, Now that we're on a subscription, And these are not, you know, not just part of a set that's coming with a collect and connect figure. I think that they really do need these little add-ins and extras, whether it's accessories or a swap-out head, in order to make it feel substantial enough for a subscription figure. So we did get the bearded Tom Calor head, and they, I have to say, they have done an excellent job with it. You know, it works very well, and it does mean that if you, you know, want to put him alongside your Legion box set figures, then he fits quite well because he's from the same era. When he had the bearded look, is the same era as the representations of the Legion in the box set. Scale-wise, he does, you know, there's some scale issues with the box set for me, because you've got some of the characters like Ultra Boy and Superboy on larger bucks, and then and Wildfire on a larger buck, and then some on smaller bucks, without kind of a lot of sense, because you know, they weren't necessarily represented as being significantly smaller, just less muscular, but not shorter. But this is on the standard adult buck, and so if you put him alongside the Legion figures, he doesn't look out of place, because there are other figures like Ultra Boy and Wildfire that are the same size, so he fits quite well. The main issue that I have with this, besides the Starfield, you know, niggle in terms of how it's represented, is that the unmasked head, to me, looks a little bit small on the body. And I'm not quite sure why that is, but I think particularly in profile, the heads on these DC UC bodies have got very narrow jaws. When you look at them in profile, like, they look fine at the front, but when you look at them on the side, they've got very long, narrow jaws. And I think just because there's no hair or something, and then also maybe because it's translucent, he just looks a little bit pinheaded in the masked version to me. But my main complaint, and the thing that's really going to knock down the dolly scale rating on this, is that he doesn't have a Legion flight ring.
Mm-hmm.
That and for me, that is a major issue. I really don't understand, you know, because obviously that would have been very easy to put on, because they've got that cast from, you know, all of the Legion box set characters, and he did have his flight ring in the JSA stories as well. So why on earth he doesn't have it, I have no idea. And if I am ever able to get a hold of an extra set of Legion figures so that I can stick a flight ring on this one, I definitely will do it, because it bugs me. So in terms of the dolly rating for this, I think I'm going to go for a 7, because the flight ring is obviously an issue, but also the Starfield thing is a bit of an issue, and I guess as a subscription figure, I still kind of want a sense of a bit more of something to pack in. The extra head is great. The bearded head definitely makes it for me, and that's how I will be displaying it, but the flight ring missing really drags this down in my book, because that would have been just a no-brainer thing to do. If they didn't already have them sculpted, then I could forgive them. You know, for other figures, I could forgive them not including it here. But when they've already got it, and it would have been very easy to include, leaving it out just seems silly. So I'm going to go 7 out of 10 for Starman.
Does anybody remember discussions around the various forums, etc., as to why they made that particular decision?
No. Did you ask that question because you remember a discussion about it?
No. I mean, I really fail to understand when you ask Maddie something like, why can't the Wally West Flash figure come with two sets of hands, two fists and two open hands? Because a lot of people want to pose him with his hands open and running, and they're like, oh, yeah, we can't do that because it's, you know, it's just too expensive. And it's like, how is it the Chinese can manufacture these giant storage crates that I can buy at the reject shop for, like, $8, yet you can't manufacture two tiny little hands that you already have the molds for?
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing I don't get. I can totally hear it. If it's, you know, no, there's new tooling required and we can't afford new tooling, but when they've already got it, I do not understand.
Yeah, at it, all. It's about 6 cents worth of plastic.
Yep. Well, it's a mystery to us, isn't it? I mean, I think that obviously this line really is being done on quite a budget. It's not a moneymaker for Mattel, you know, by any means. And so I think they are quite restricted, but some things don't make sense. And it's those no-brainy things like, you know, when you've already got a Legion Flight ring, why don't you put it on? Those are the things that can be frustrating. But, you know, I'm definitely glad that we got this figure. It adds to what Mattel has done for the Legion, and hopefully won't be the end of it either. So 7 out of 10. All right, well, that brings us to the end of Toy of the Week. We'll be right back with the things that we've added to our collections between last episode and this.
Open the jaw, Rick.
The powers of evil control Castle Grayskull.
Oh, yeah, Dad, watch. Real Man's power. I'll get us inside, He-Man.
Ram Man, He-Man, and Castle Grayskull, each sold separately. You have to put the castle together.
Ram Man, use your head.
I just did.
Not that way.
We have a prisoner.
Good. Who's the prisoner?
You are, because we have the power.
Oh, no. Ram Man and He-Man from the Masters of the Universe collection, each sold separately. Castle Grayskull also sold separately from Mattel.
We're all here because we collect, so Feeding the Addiction is where we take time to check in with each other and discuss any new acquisitions or pre-orders that we've made. And Adam, let's start with you. Any new goodies for you this week?
No new action figures, apart from bathroom stuff costing us an arm and a leg. The only other thing I've got this week is an early birthday present by like 3 months and a bit. of a Garmin GPS, which will come in handy for next weekend when we go traveling.
Oh. Nice. So why does that have to be an early birthday present? Just because you're poor, or
no? Because it got given to me by my parents.
Oh, it's from your parents.
Well, it was for myself. I would have just bought it for myself.
Okay, oh, I understand. I didn't realize it was actually from someone else. So cool. Oh, that was nice of your parents.
Quite happy with it.
Good on you, Adam's mum and dad. Well, Ben, what about you? Did Adam's mum and dad give you anything this week?
No, nothing again.
Bastards.
However, I bought myself a couple of things. Uh-huh. Bit of a dry week for action figures and statues, but I got an Amazon shipment. They're always fun because they're so random as to their delivery time that you just can never tell when they're going to turn up, so it's always a surprise. But in my sort of ongoing quest to pick up various books about comics, I picked up Joe Simon's autobiography, as in the Joe Simon that created Captain America, and that's actually quite an interesting read. I'm already about halfway through, and quite enjoying that one. I got another one called The Horror, The Comics the Government Didn't Want You to Read. That's actually a bit of fun, that one. It obviously goes into a lot of the EC type stuff, and it's very, very heavy on the pictures. In fact, there's sort of pages and pages of a specific comic reprinted just so they can sort of show the lead into the various offending panels, etc. So
I imagine there'd be a lot of Rob Liefeld in there too, wouldn't there?
I don't think that would be the comics the government didn't want you to read. It'd be the comics that everyone didn't want you to read.
Well, it's interest of public safety and health, that sort of thing, surely.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's amazing how good the art was back then compared to, you know, Liefeld's now. Huh. Anyway, and the last one I actually got was one called Lee and Kirby, The Wonder Years, and that was actually one that originally started off, it was meant to be a sort of a large essay in the Jack Kirby Collector magazine, but the fellow who was writing it just continually added more and more and more material to it, and it just kept growing in size, and the publisher of the Jack Kirby Collector just kept holding it off because the guy would always contact him and say, I've got a little bit more, got a little bit more. And finally they were sort of looking at a final version of the book to go to print. And the author, whose name I can't recall, actually passed away before it was published. So a little bit sad, that one. But look, I'll enjoy that on his behalf.
Oh, well, no toys but some good reading this week.
Indeed.
Very good. Well, for me, after 2 weeks of no toys, this week I have all the toys. I have them all. That's why you didn't get any. So I got my Bowen stuff that I have been waiting for that just all happened to collide at once. Thanks a lot, Bowen, for... Actually, there was a question raised about it, because there are a number of things coming out right now, and Randy Bowen did come out and say that because they work with so many different suppliers, they don't have complete control over release dates, and they don't have a warehouse that's big enough to be able to hold on to, you know, particular statues to spread them out. So I do understand how that happens, and I just happen to be, you know, it's sometimes it doesn't affect you if you are only getting one of the things that are coming out, but it just happened that three of the things that I've been waiting for a long time all came out. So I now have, well, I actually haven't opened any of them yet because they are Father's Day presents. So they are, I'll be checking them out tomorrow. But the Rogue, Sunfire, and Union Jack that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks are all here now. The Sunfire box is huge. So I can't imagine how big the statue is going to be. I'm a bit unsure about where Rogue and Sunfire are going to go because they're both quite tall, so definitely some reorganizing about to happen.
Yeah, Rogue's certainly got some height, hasn't she? Because her stand implies that she's flying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's got a flying stand, so they're both definitely on the taller side. So, but that's good, actually, because I think it's nice to have some levels within the collection, not all at the same height. It actually makes it easier to display them when you've got a couple that are standing up a bit higher from the rest of the group. So very much looking forward to unpacking those, although I have been instructed I'm not allowed to get up tomorrow. Those are the exact words. You're not allowed to get up tomorrow. And I was like, what, ever? Or is it? They're like, no, just until we're doing stuff. You can't get up. Oh, and could you buy some bacon, please? So I suspect it could be breakfasty. Either that or, yeah, I'm not sure. So that's all good. Excellent. Something to look forward to. Okay, well, that's all our new gear, and nothing new for me from Adam's mom and dad either, I should point out. So, yeah, better luck next time. If no one has any other new items to report from Adam's mom and dad or otherwise, it's time to award another red card to something or someone in the toy universe.
What is this, Bizarro World?
Red carded is a chance to poke fun at the WTF moments in our hobby, be they unusual announcements, a complete fail action figure, or worse. And handing out the penalty this week is Ben. So over to you, Ben.
Yes, thank you, Scott. This episode's red card goes not to one of the toys we collect, but actually to the method of delivery that brings those toys to us.
The stork?
Now, Australians have several options for international shipping to Australia from the US, and the most common to us are the good old United States Postal Service First Class, and then the one that's just above it is Priority International. So they are the two most common. If you buy something off eBay, you'll invariably be using one of those two. Now, First Class is kind of the red-headed stepchild of the group. It is basically the poverty class shipping. It has limits. And the Priority, which is the next one up, is the one that's actually preferred by most eBay sellers because it actually has the benefit of tracking. And I think a lot of the eBay fine print now says that you're not covered for certain things if you don't use tracking, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
so,
that's correct.
I am finding a lot more people preferring Priority than First Class. Now, thanks to our good buddy Mike S., he actually enlightened me a little bit that it's not just the fact that Priority has the ability to be tracked, but it's also that with Priority, you can actually enter all the information into the internet and print a shipping label, stick it on the box, and then when you swing past the post office, you can just hurl it into the outgoing mail chute, and that's pretty much it. First Class, on the other hand, you actually have to walk into the post office and get it weighed and pay the money and do all that sort of thing. So it's actually an inconvenience as well. Now, the delivery times for First Class and Priority are considerably far apart. Now, Priority is generally about 6 to 10 days. And First Class is often billed as being somewhere in the vicinity of 4 weeks, but most of the time it just says varies by destination. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding almost consistently now that the items that ship first class, i.e. poverty class, they're literally turning up in a week. I'm getting stuff. My record is actually 5 days.
Wow.
And I'm getting, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 9 or 10 days with first class regularly, sometimes even less. Priority, on the other hand, is for some reason just extending out further and further every time. I'm talking at least 3 weeks. So to give you an example, I bought my wife a birthday present off of an eBay seller, and the lady was so fast in getting it into the mail, she actually had free postage on the item, which was just incredible as far as I was concerned. And so I took that option, and she got it in the mail. But then the following night, I thought she actually had something else that I knew my wife would be interested in. I ummed and ahed, and I decided to get that as well. So I bought a second item. So that was two items from the same seller in 24 hours. And the lady emailed me back and said that the first one had already gone in the mail, and unfortunately she couldn't combine the two items and therefore take advantage of the combined shipping. And so she was quite apologetic. And she then basically got that one in the mail the next day as well. So they shipped 24 hours apart. Now, the first item was actually sent priority, and the second one was sent first class. So I was actually a bit concerned that the first class one wouldn't arrive in time for my wife's birthday. Well, the one that was posted on the second day, which was sent first class, arrived in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was sent first by priority mail took 30 days to arrive. Not only did it take 30 days to arrive, but every time I actually went onto the United States Postal Service website to actually track where it was, because I was actually getting concerned, basically it had a single update, and that was to say it had actually been received by the post office.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there week after week going, you haven't updated a single thing on the tracking. And then it actually arrived, and I thought, oh, here it is, 30 days. Yep, so much for that. I get it home, decided to check the tracking, and once again, it still had that it had been received at the facility in the United States and not a single update. Then about 3 days later, I checked it again. So this is 3 days after the item had arrived, and then they finally updated the tracking, and there was about 7 or 8 sort of entries in there.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly frustrating that sellers actually want to use priority mail, and it's shit. Like, you don't get anything for it. You get shit tracking that doesn't actually work. It takes 3 times as long as what they suggest, and it costs you more for that privilege.
How big or heavy was that item that came from through priority?
They were actually Swarovski crystal figurines.
Okay.
So they're about 6 centimeters tall. They come in a heavy cardboard cylinder that's probably slightly bigger than a soft drink can. And then they were in a cardboard box with some bubble wrap. So probably a third of a shoebox at most.
Huh. That is very strange. I find my Big Bad stuff that I get comes USPS Express mail, like parcel, and that can be so sporadic in terms of sometimes it's very quick and sometimes it will take much longer than it is meant to. As example, the last box I got, which was the Rogue Bowen statue, that arrived in 4 days. From the time it was shipped. But if you go to the tracking, and I just was checking now while we're looking, it still just says arrived at sort facility in Chicago.
That's the one.
but
it's insanely frustrating. Yeah. And that postage you mentioned is actually the one above priority.
It is,
so both first class and priority are below that one. So you should be getting even better service from that particular shipping method. And I just find it insanely frustrating when I look at an auction and I can see that someone has listed the only shipping as priority. And I just think, great, here I am paying more to take 3 times as long, and I have no idea how to track it using the tracking facility.
What are your experiences with this?
For that reason, United States Postal Service, you're getting our red card of the week.
Adam, I was going to ask you what your experiences with this sort of stuff are. Do you have the same find the same issues?
I have lots of fun with the U.S. Postal Service, which is why, given the option, I go for UPS.
Ah.
I had one problem with UPS ever, and that was that the person delivered it to our numbered house, the next street over.
Oh, that's useful.
And
yep.
The way that I knew that this was the case was because when I looked on the website, they're saying it's behind the air conditioner. We have an evaporative air conditioner where the unit is on the roof. Fairly confident they hadn't climbed up and put it on the roof, and that the note wasn't in our letterbox. We've left this card, wasn't in the letterbox. I called them up and they're like, no, it says it's been delivered, so clearly you're lying to us. And I'm like, I really am not. So I called them up and they're like, yeah, no, if you don't locate it, then, we'll send you another shipment for free because you've gone for your UPS and insurance and blah, blah, and it's all got the insurance and whatever. But ended up finding it because the guy that it did get delivered to came and dropped it around, which was nice.
That was nice.
Yeah. The other problem with USPS is that it then interfaces with Australia Post.
Mm.
And they can be dodgy, and they get even worse around Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when they go and put on a whole bunch of contractors that, have no real reason to do anything more than the absolute minimum. So I had something where knew the thing had arrived in Australia, knew it arrived at my post office because of they were actually updating the tracking properly at that stage, and saw the delivery van go past because I was on leave, and it went up the street, it put a note in across the street and went back down. So I just called the post office and they're like, oh no, yeah, it's sitting here in the pile. I'm like, all right. Well, I called them an hour or two later. They went, all right, I'll just come down and get it. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, my issue with UPS is that they don't deliver to PO boxes, and I have a PO box because I just do not trust the Australia Post parcel people, because I've had, so many experiences where stuff that should not just be left at the front door gets left at the front door, and, it's just not worth it when you're spending the amount of money that you might be spending on a particular item to then wonder if you're ever going to get it, so... Yeah, it's all a bit of a crapshoot, but that is a well-deserved red card, I think. Okay, well, coming up after that well-deserved fail is our discussion topic of the week.
Spider-Man's getting ready to rumble.
Oh no, it's Doc Ock, Venom, and the Green Goblin.
Fantastic action coming up.
Take that, Green Goblin. Bam! Must get out of Venom's trap. Thwack!
Time to get out of here. Catch you later, Doc Ock. Brand new Spider-Man action figures, out now.
No matter what line of action figures or statues you might collect, the addition of new characters is always exciting news. Most of us are universe builders at heart, but a truly complete team or group of characters in any line is an increasingly rare achievement. The AFB podcast is all about the collector's journey, and following lines that stop short of delivering complete sets is certainly a regular hazard of our hobby. Making it worse is the fact that we often see the same characters repeated ad nauseum within a line while others never seem to break through. Tonight we're talking about overlooked and overexposed characters, the characters that never seem to get their fair go in the lines we collect, and those that get so much attention we die happily without ever seeing them again. So guys, I'm going to start by asking you to fill in the blanks of this sentence. I'd be quite happy if they never made another blank name of character in the blank series. Right? So, Ben.
So how many of these do we get?
We'll start with one. And then we'll come back to other examples. So you have to choose your priority. So we're not just talking, like Superman, but, in what series does a character get repeated so much that it's driving you crazy? So, Ben, you go first.
All right. Well, it's probably a little late now, but if you had have asked me sort of 12 months or 2 years ago, it definitely would have been a case of I'd be quite happy if they never made another Batman in the DC Universe Classics series.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it was the Sinestro Batman that almost did me in.
Yeah, it is it's an annoyance. We'll talk about why in a moment. But Adam, what about you?
I'd be quite happy if they never made another Wolverine in the Marvel Universe series.
Fair enough. Well, mine is actually from Marvel Universe 2, and I'd be quite happy if they never made another Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe series. Mm. We are getting Spider-Man to death as well as Wolverine to death as well. So, you know, it, and obviously there's reasons why, you know, this happens, because those characters sell, but the degree to which some of these characters get repeated, and Marvel Universe, I think, is a particularly interesting one, because that so many, you know, slight variations of the same character or just repeats of the same character over and over, it's just a bit overwhelming. You know, how many Spider-Man figures or Wolverine figures can you actually have in your collection?
Yeah. That's right. And, I mean, some of them are pretty obvious. Like, if you were to get the big time, the Future Foundation Spider-Man, we've had him even in the 6-inch Marvel Legends line. I mean, that's a fairly significant variant. But for Marvel Universe, every now and then when I see a new series solicited, there's a Spider-Man, and I just look at it and I think, I can't actually even tell what's different about that Spider-Man to the previous 26 they've released. It's like there's such slight variations. They're not even specific storyline versions. It's very odd.
Yeah, there's heaps. Like, the latest that round of two packs, the latest Toys R Us two pack wave of exclusives had a Spider-Man in it. The difference was it was a dark blue and red Spider-Man, and it was the classic costume using the House of M Spider-Man bark.
Mm.
Right, because that's what we needed.
Absolutely. I mean, I like the approach that they're taking with the Marvel Legends the second time around, where they've said, look, you know, we need these characters in the line. You know, we need a Wolverine, we need a Captain America, we need a Spider-Man, but we won't put the collection or the Build-A-Figure pieces in with them. That's okay. It's more the having to buy, you know, the characters in box sets to get the characters that you want. You know, great example of that has to be Justice League Unlimited, where even at the moment, with the stuff that's coming out on Maddie Collector, you know, you're having to buy another Superman, another Wonder Woman, just to get that one character like Mongol that hasn't been made yet.
Mm.
Yeah, that's wrong. I've got plastic bags full of Superman and Batman toys from Justice League. And what we actually do with those is, I don't know if you've ever heard of a charity called Operation Christmas Child, but it's a charity that's run by Samaritan's Purse, and they get you to pack Christmas boxes, and they're like shoebox size for a boy or girl of specific age in a country that, you know, they give to kids who have never had a present before. And, you know, they take that up there, and there's certain things that need to be in it, like a face washer or a soap or whatever, but then you can put a toy in as well. And so we save those, and, you know, and we'll put those in there if we have to do a boy, because we get our kids to do that at Christmas, because I've got so many of them, I could, you know, paper the walls with them. So what other characters are there? You know, we've done our main grievances, but other characters in other lines that seem to be overdone.
I actually got sort of quite annoyed with the Futurama series. They did the obvious characters, and they don't exactly have a huge roster at their disposal, but it got to the point where they were just bringing out, you know, variations of Bender and variations of Fry, and you could tell they were just trying to pad out the series as far as they could before they had sort of done all the major or even some of the minor characters. And fortunately, there's, you know, you can actually cherry pick, but the problem is if they're only bringing out two figures per wave and they're only doing a couple of waves a year, it really does take an awfully long time to get all the key cast.
Adam?
I have a feeling in the Battlestar Galactica line, one of the more recent ones, there were continual variants on characters like, you know, Apollo and Boomer, and it was just really, why would you, like, I understand they're popular characters and stuff, but it was just really, okay, how many more do you need?
Yeah, that was a frustrating one because they actually did end up covering most of the cast, but they did come out with, you know, like you're right, a number of different versions of some of the characters, and Six was another one that, you know, we got Six in a black dress, Six in a red dress, great, yeah. You know, whereas you're still kind of waiting. And what frustrated me with that line was that some came out very late and the quality of the head sculpts really went downhill the further they went, so... Yeah, I kind of gave it away in the end because you're like, yeah, I can see that you're calling that character, you know, that this is meant to be whoever, but it just doesn't look like them at all, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
On the statue side, one thing that I get a bit over, you know, Bowen does a lot of Iron Man as an example. And again, obviously they've got to have that kind of stuff to sell because it just does seem to sell. But, you know, I'm a kind of, you know, one character per line person. So you're like, oh, great, you're doing another Iron Man. Well, that's great.
Well, yeah, and exactly. And I understand that you only have to have a name attached to it and you've got that selling power. But you know, recently Randy was inquiring about doing a new Hulk. And I just thought, oh, for crying out loud, is there any version left? Oh, look, he's looking to do the Smart Hulk. Yep, that's the only Hulk he hasn't done. Yeah. Great. All right, let's get that poll going, shall we?
But you know, I guess you know the thing is, obviously, these characters sell. And I can't get my head around, particularly Bowen, I think, is an example where you know it's a pretty small pool of collectors. You look on like the Statue Marvel site for an example, and you've got the kind of core people there. And, you know, to me, I'm like, well, great. I've got, you know, I don't have a Bowen Hulk at the moment. I've got the Kotobukiya Hulk and Red Hulk, which are just fantastic. The Fall of the Hulk series, but I am getting the new Hulk that is, coming out. That'll be my Bowen Hulk, but then I'm done. I'm not interested in another one, but obviously, other people collect differently, and you know, to me, having multiple statues of the same character is a luxury that I can't afford.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are certainly collectors out there, and Statue Marvels is a really good one for that, where you'll have people who are Captain America fanatics or Iron Man fanatics, and so they'll just get every single version of any, you know, statue that comes out, even sort of like the bronze version of the statue that they already have.
Yep. Or a slightly repainted version. You know, I can see repainted action figures, but repainted statues?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps it's the only thing they collect. Like, they might not actually universe build. They just might have a couple of shelves and a display case that's devoted to nothing but their favourite character. But you would have to expect that that's a pretty small sample.
Indeed, indeed. We did also, on the overexposed side of things, we did go out to Facebook and to the various forums to ask questions. And on the overexposed side, we had a couple of comments. Michael Ocasio at Facebook said, Spider-Man and Batman are way overloved. Glow-in-the-dark scuba Spider-Man? Really? Come on. I like this. Batman has been produced in every color of the Crayola box. that's a great statement. And Brendan Cool, you're cool, Brendan, said, as far as Marvel goes, the only character I can rationalize multiple versions of is Iron Man, but they always continuously add Spidey after Spidey and Wolverines like crazy. Giving us a full set of X-Men or Avengers?
Well, I actually noticed a couple of people mention Darth Vader.
Yes, I saw that too. Yep.
Yeah, we actually had quite a few. I think it was Eric's, our buddy Eric's from AFB, did actually mention that. And I think one of the guys on Critical Mess also said that. And, yeah, it did actually occur to me that every now and then when I'm walking through the toy aisles and I see the new Star Wars figures, I've still obviously got that love of Star Wars, and so I often just have a bit of a look at the figures and see what's new, and oh, it's another Darth Vader, and oh, this one doesn't actually seem to have anything different about it. I mean, I can understand if you have the battle damage version and there's the version where his helmet's off and that sort of thing, but this one just seems to be a new Darth Vader. I mean, I understand that his costume did vary between the films, but geez, enough to justify a new action figure. But then again, I guess he's the Star Wars equivalent of you know, Batman.
Mm. Hyperion also mentioned Snake Eyes. So I guess for G.I. Joe collectors, that might be a bit of a overdone one. And Hal Jordan got a mention as well on the overexposed, overdone side.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually giving the discussion topic some thought, and I was actually thinking back, if we harken back to the days of Batman the Animated Series, that was a really powerful line that did very, very well and just seemed to go on forever. And I actually have to wonder, really, when it comes down to sales, obviously they need those key characters that have that recognition to kids that are walking through the action figure aisle with their mother or father, and let's buy little Jimmy an action figure. Oh, look, there's Batman. But some of those variants, and I even noticed it with that new adjectiveless Batman line, those really stupid variants are starting to, you know, the Arctic Blast and the Bondage Batman and the Sleepover Batman and that sort of thing. But most of them have actually been changed to such a degree that they're almost unrecognizable.
Well, exactly. And how that actually appeals to anyone, I don't know. Because, you know, kids, even little kids, are not dumb, and they want... I can't see that being an appeal, you know, scuba diving Batman. Little kids know, Batman doesn't scuba dive, that's dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
But, see, the thing is, I can almost understand some of those Batman ones, right? I mean, yes, Batman has money, yes, he can afford to do it. But when you start going into all these weird variants of Spider-Man, come on. Talking about the you know, basically lives on by the skin of his teeth as far as finances go, and suddenly, oh no, he's got all these wonderful bits and pieces that he can afford. Right.
Yeah, and you know, 10 different versions of his costume that he can carry around, and because if he suddenly happens to be dropped in the Arctic, he can, you know, pull out the snowstorm version of the Spidey suit.
That's right.
Of course.
Which he keeps where, I'm not sure, but yes.
Well, I think, yeah, obviously, his little, you know, web backpack that he spins to carry his gear around in, obviously the contents of that exist in the negative zone or something, you know, so that he can store it not in real space, but, like, in space.
Yeah.
That's right. I think... I like the way that in a series like Marvel Legends, at least when they released a Wolverine figure, it did seem to be a genuine representation of the character from the comics. We actually got the brown and orange Wolverine. We got the blue and yellow, and then we got the Astonishing Wolverine, which is another variation of the costume. But at least you can actually point to specific times in the character's sort of evolution where they did actually wear that particular costume. And with someone like Wolverine, you do have people who prefer the brown, and then you have some people who prefer the blue and yellow. So they've actually got that choice. But, you know, when you start to bring out shit like Sinestro Batman, oh, man, you're really starting to kill me there. I mean...
Indeed. Stuff that almost seems engineered.
That's just Batman the Animated Series mentality. That is putting a Batman figure in there purely for the recognition to get some sales. And I don't know about you, but if little Jimmy was with me and I saw that figure and he's like, oh, can I have the Batman figure? I was like, yeah, that's a really, really dumb costume. And look at the expression on his face. He looks like he's trying to take a crap. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, well, that gives us a pretty good idea of what we mean by the overexposed characters. So let's go back now to the overlooked. And just to be clear about where I'm heading with this, you know, this isn't just wishlisty. Like, you know, Phantom Girl is a wishlisty character. So I'm not going to say she's overlooked because we might get her one day, but she's my favorite, but she's a wishlisty character. I'm thinking about those characters that actually... You know, they do have a decent following, they do have a decent level of popularity, but yet they never just quite seem to get that same exposure. So I'll start to give an example of what I'm talking about. To me, Kitty Pryde is a character, and she's, you know, whether it's Shadowcat or Kitty, you know, we definitely get her in lines, But to me, she's a really significant character in the Marvel Universe, and that's certainly not represented in terms of her level of representation in toys or in statues, for example. You know, how Sideshow can do, you know, X number of versions of Jean Grey or Emma Frost or whatever and not have looked at Kitty or Shadowcat amazes me.
Oh, the fact that Magic has already had two statues.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, which is great. It's great that they've done Magic, but Kitty, I mean, I know that her her current, you know, costume isn't particularly distinguishable. I don't really like it. I much prefer the Shadowcat gear, but the fact that, you know, neither Bowen nor Sideshow have done anything with Shadowcat is amazing to me. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. What are those characters for you that just don't quite seem to get the attention you think that they deserve?
I actually agreed with a couple of the comments that we got, in particular Hyperion and Doghouse Riley on Critical Mess both actually mentioned Robin, and Doghouse in particular mentioned it, sort of gave us a few sentences just in regards to the fact that, you know, Batman and Robin are the dynamic duo, and they've always been a team, thanks to the efforts of the TV show. And when you actually think about it as a kid, if you have that love of Batman and you love all things Batman, as a 6 or 7 or 8 year old, you would almost kind of imagine yourself as being Robin. Like, you know, if you could exist with Batman, you would be Robin, and you could be his partner, in fighting crime. And Batman is, you know, done to death. Yet we really do strain for even one decent Robin per line.
Oh, well, even, and if you look on the statue side of things, you know, hardly ever done. If he's in there in a set with Batman, but if you look at the busts, the different busts that they've done in those different series, there's no Robin. Batman Black and White, which has been going for ages, and we've got Batman Beyond, we've got Dick Grayson as Batman, but we don't have Robin in that line, which is astonishing to me, or Nightwing. So, you know, I think he's a fantastic example of a really significant character that does not get a look in the way that he should.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Adam? What comes to mind for you?
I'd probably say my obvious number one would be Jubilee, but I think we are actually meant to start getting a version of Jubilee in the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 waves of Marvel Universe, although it's meant to be Vampire Jubilee.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, but the thing that surprises the crap out of me is, back in the 90s, any wave of X-Men figures had Jubilee because of the cartoon, right? And then Generation X and whatever else. But now it's basically, you know, she's become toxic as a character. You can't convince them to do anything with it.
I would put some of the New Mutants characters in that same category where... really, Cannonball is the... we get bits and pieces of them in different lines, but there's nowhere where you could actually gather a New Mutants collection. You know, you've got some figures from the Toy Biz line. We had different bits and pieces of them. Bowen's done Cannonball. Sideshow's done Magic. Marvel Legends is going to do Danny Moonstar, and they've done the, you know, pink and purple version of Cannonball as well. But to me, those are really important, significant characters that just don't get the attention that they deserve. Great, I think it'd be a fantastic Marvel Universe box set, for example, to do like the original New Mutants or something. I'd eat that up.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Adam.
Similarly, though, I think almost anything that's of that, you know, mid-90s vintage is essentially people will refuse to do it. I mean, X-Force, the 90s X-Factor, you're just not going to get anything. Just forget about it. This basically seems to be the attitude at the moment. I mean, you know, where's you know, the 90s Havoc, where's Feral, where's Richter, where's Shatterstar?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a pretty obvious answer for me as to, you know, the most woefully underrepresented character that I want, and no, it is not Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu. It's actually Rogue.
Oh, Rogue. Fair enough.
You know, we've had 57 umpty billion waves of Marvel Legends, and we haven't had a single Rogue figure. We had the horror, it must be killed with fire version of Rogue that was in the box set. That came out.
Be sure to say what you really feel about it.
The version in the X-Men line, the spin-off X-Men line, where she was actually in her extreme red and blue costume, and it's quite a nice figure, but that is not the definitive representation of Rogue. You know, one of her sort of green and white costumes is what we're really after. And the thing is, that X-Men figure was woefully under-distributed. And so if you are after it, it'll cost you a fortune.
Yeah. I mean, look how long it's taken them to get to her in Marvel Universe. They finally, showed that she is coming up. But it's taken an astonishingly long time to get to her in the Marvel Universe line as well.
If you want to go for statues, there's oodles to choose from.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, Sideshow's done a couple of different versions. Still, you know, as far as female characters go, still pretty underrepresented. On the Bowen side as well, like this new Arthur Adams version that we've got is fantastic, but I'm still waiting for a really decent classic Bowen Rogue, because I don't really like the original one that they did, just because of the angle of the pose, and you know, it's bursting through some bricks, and it doesn't kind of fit with the characters I want to display it with. So there's definitely room for more Rogue in Bowen as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What other characters come to mind as the overlooked?
For me, also, it's probably those characters that are just on the perimeter of the, I guess, the key character. So, for example, if I'm a big fan of Thor, and Thor has a huge family of characters. We've obviously had Thor and Loki in Marvel Legends, and we've had several Thors. We've even had a couple of Lokis now. Yet there's just that huge entourage of characters that I thought would get some love thanks to the movie. But, you know, whether it's the Warriors 3, Sif, Baldur, Heimdall, and, of course, Odin. And that's without even getting to, you know, I mean, anyone who collects Marvel Legends wants the Enchantress. It's just a given.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the only reason we even got a Destroyer action figure was because it was actually a variant of the Iron Man Thor Buster armor. So, you know, that's an example of where we're just not quite there, yet we should be.
Back on the DC side, one character that I think doesn't get a fair go is Firestorm. We've never had a Firestorm statue of any kind from DC Direct, really, I know that he's been a bit in the doldrums, but it's a really significant character, and I'm not just saying that to help Eli out because he's not here, but, you know, definitely, that to me, that's a gap as well. Any others for you, Adam?
I'm just going through and looking at the Marvel Universe listings, and there's heaps. Like, I mean, you know, the Inhumans, I think, get a box set planned sometime for, you know, maybe this year or next year. Rogue finally gets one along with Longshot, but to get that, you get Wolverine, and, you know, just bizarre choices. The one that really frustrates me, absolutely annoys me to death, because it's a dead simple one to do, is D-Man. All they need to do is they've got the yellow and black Daredevil. They've done that. They've done Wolverine to death. You take the head, you freaking shove it on the body, and you're done. How hard is that? Come on, you've got the parts there. People would love it, yeah. You know. But there's so many characters, obviously, that they can choose from, and yet every line. I mean, let's go through what we've got coming up. We get. The next line, I think, is you get She-Hulk, finally, a redo of Punisher. You get two different versions of Spider-Man, Kang, finally, and Scarlet Witch, finally. Then you go into the next one, you get Angel, but then there's the X-Factor set coming out, so you'll have two Angels. Nighthawk, Nova, Hercules, Park, yeah, they're all new. Then you get Professor X, Jubilee, Blaster. So we're starting to get into some of the newer stuff.
Yeah.
But then we start getting into repeats again.
Yeah. And I suppose that they do need to cycle through those for people that are coming new into the collecting that want those characters. I can see that. It's just, you know, when you get those repeats and some that seem obvious never seem to make it in. One great point that was raised at Facebook from James Belfrage was about villains. He says, you know, it's always the bad guys that get overlooked. I want to see more villains and not just the heroes. Hot Toys, I'm a big collector of, and the good guys always outweigh the bad ones. And that's true in lots of lines. We're often missing, you know, the villains that we feel like we need. And another person, this is Michael Ocasio again, listed some villains that he'd like to see, like Mr. Hyde, the Owl, Stilt Man, Arcade, Tinkerer, Man Bull, I don't know who that is, Gladiator.
Man Bull's just that guy with a big sort of bull head costume thing.
Okay. Gladiator, Prowler, Shocker. You know, those are definitely characters that Marvel Legends, I think, is really missing still some of those important villains, for example.
You could even say Gladiator times two, because I think in that particular sentence, Michael was referring to Gladiator as in the Daredevil villain, as opposed to the Shi'ar Imperial Guard Gladiator.
Yeah,
but he's been done, at least in Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but you know, using most of those, you know, at least the first sort of half dozen names that you read out, they're actually Daredevil villains. And if I'm sort of running through my Marvel Legends Daredevil villains, you know, really beyond Bullseye, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head who they've done. Yeah, but he was in the Spider-Man series, and there was a series that had a Typhoid Mary, but basically, you know, he hasn't had any love. I think it's interesting too that Hasbro did a Black Bolt from the Inhumans, but I really don't see Black Bolt and Medusa being separated by anything. They just go hand in hand. You're talking about the king and queen of the Inhumans, and the fact that, you know, maybe it falls into the category of it's a female figure, so, you know, no one will buy it, but. I mean, Hasbro are bringing out quite a few female Marvel Legends figures shortly with the Red She-Hulk, etc. So the fact that we've had one of the Inhumans, and okay, look, we get some pretty obscure ones there, but there's at least sort of three or four key Inhumans that that could be done that, you know, we just don't seem to be on the verge of getting. I mean, I guess you could also say the same thing about some of the Batman villains. You know, we obviously get Joker to death and Riddler to death and that sort of thing, but I'd love a KG Beast.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of those characters that, and obviously everyone's got their own perspective on it, because a lot of it depends on when you started reading comics and the things that are most significant to you. And, you know, everyone's got their obvious ones that we miss out on. And part of it is about eras. Like it is, Adam pointed out the 90s stuff, which is a great example. You know, there are a lot of 90s, there's a lot of 90s stuff that was pretty ugly and pretty forgettable. But then there are significant characters that are a part of that haven't, I think that get ignored because of that. So for instance, if you look at the DC stuff from the 90s, you know, characters like Zoriel as an example, that, you know, he was a member of the Justice League and also a really interesting-looking character, but just doesn't seem like he'll ever see the light of day.
Well, yeah, another one that's actually perplexed me in any variation is the Ray.
Oh, yeah. We've had a Justice League Unlimited version of him, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's been some very interesting choices over the years. I mean, I keep referring to Marvel Legends because I'm basically sitting right in front of my display, but you know, looking at the villains wave that came out, and we got Blackheart, who is Mephisto's son, basically. But we never actually got a Mephisto from Marvel Legends. We got one through the Marvel Select. But, I mean, we get Blackheart, who's had, I think, maybe four appearances ever. Yet, you know, there's any number of huge villains that I'd love to see that we've never actually received in Marvel Legends. So some of the choices are very, very unusual. Hmm. I mean, on the one hand, you've got companies who are saying, look, sorry, we have to throw a Wolverine and a Spider-Man in there for that recognition. And then, you know, we've got waves that have got Blackheart in them.
Mm-hmm. One thing that frustrates me as we start wrapping this up, I think, is often just the failure of these lines to just throw the collectors an occasional bone to keep it going. Because, you know, I can cope with having to, you know, deal with multiple Batman, multiple Spider-Man, etc. if I am also getting at least a trickle of the kind of characters that are going to keep me coming back. And where I think some of these lines ultimately fall down, and DC Universe Classics of that is a great example, is when they, if when they start perhaps not selling quite so well, and then they get driven by, right, we've just got to do these main characters, we just have to do what's modern and nothing classic, or, you know, that sort of thing. And then the collectors, who really are the people that hold these lines up, once they back away, things fall apart, and then we get blamed for not liking what was produced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, a huge thanks to everybody that contributed to that discussion. We had a really good discussion on Facebook. We did have some Twitter comments as well, which we didn't get to, but thank you very much for those as well. And at our various message boards, something that we probably can come back and revisit at another stage as time goes on. But we'll wrap that up now, and we'll be back in a moment with some feedback before we finish things up.
Now you can have your own special Captain Planet adventure with your favorite Planeteers. There's Wheeler, who has the power of fire, and the daring Linka with the power of wind. You can even use the Planeteers Eco Cycle, and your own power rings will let you call Captain Planet. Bring him to the rescue and save the Earth. Captain Planet and the Planeteers, now available at Kmart.
Before we finish off, we have some feedback from our listeners to share with you. If you would like to hear your questions, comments, or suggestions on future episodes, email us at podcast@actionfigureblues.com, and you might just hear it read out. Adam, you've got our first piece of feedback tonight from Facebook, so over to you.
Thanks, Scott. Yep, we've got a nice little message from Jamie Dole, who says, great show, guys. I just found the show, and wow, I had no clue there was a podcast like this from a fellow Aussies. I'm going back and downloading all the shows. Well done, sirs. Smiley face. Thank you, Jamie. That's very nice that you're going to go back and listen through hours and hours of our wonderful, wonderful commentary.
Actually, that reminded me. There was a mention on Twitter a little in this last week from a guy who, I'm just trying to find it now, said, I'm just about to go. I just downloaded 28 hours of AF Blues episodes, so I'll talk to you in a few days.
That's
so
impressive.
Yeah, so that was Clint Felton. So good on you, Clint. And then a few days later, he came back and said, I'm finally on episode 26, or nearly caught up. So he actually survived. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, good on you, Clint. And we also got a new 5-star review at iTunes. Yay! And Ben, you've got that for us.
Yeah, just before I read that one out, I think Jamie also asked if the Marvel, must be the Marvel Universe comic packs are actually hitting Aussie stores. And I think that's actually referring to the two packs, you know, that comes with a comic and the two figures. But I haven't actually seen those at retail in Australia for a long time.
No, the only place that I've ever seen those is Toy World's.
Then, I think it was the first wave, and that was it.
They got some got the Secret Wars stuff and that sort of thing. Toys R Us.
And the X-Men First Class ones came out at Toys R Us in Australia.
Actually, you probably could still find those at some Toys R Us's in Australia.
That's right. All right. Well, moving on. Yes, we did actually get an iTunes 5-star rating, and it's from JB2012X, who's called it entertaining and knowledgeable. Great show, very knowledgeable hosts. Does a great job of staying on the topic of toys, unlike some other action figure podcasts that seem to forget what they're about. And keep it up. So thank you very much, JB.
Hey, that was on the US iTunes. So if you do leave us an iTunes review from a country other than Australia or the US, you might need to tell us so that we can check, because I've given up on certain parts of the globe ever helping us out. Although we had some kind of ultimatum about Argentina, didn't we? We've got to have Tom on the show to get an Argentina review. So, but we really do appreciate it, and it does help other people find the podcast in iTunes. So that is greatly appreciated. All right. Well, that makes episode 28 of the FE podcast done and dusted. We do hope that you have enjoyed listening. You'll be able to download this and future episodes of the podcast by going to actionfigureblues.com and clicking on the podcast tab, or by subscribing at iTunes. And as we said, we really do appreciate reviews at iTunes as well. While you are at actionfigureblues.com, you might like to check out the reviews and articles and perhaps visit some of our sponsors like Mike's Comics and Stuff, Big Bad Toy Store, and popculture.com, who help keep the site running and the lights on. When we're not podcasting, blogging, or doing other assorted hobby-related activities, you can find us all on the Action Figure Blues Forum at afbforum.com, where Adam posts as Westie, Ben posts as Fish Milkshake, and I post as Scotty. We'd love to hear from you with any comments or suggestions for future Toys of the Week or red cards or discussion topics, and you can do it all by emailing us, again, podcast@actionfigureblues.com, or, of course, you can always join the AFB forum and tell us there. You can also follow us on Twitter at AFBlues and like the Action Figure Blues page on Facebook at facebook.com/actionfigureblues. And with that, we are done. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you again next time. Good night, Argentina, and goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, all.
Bye, everybody. Bye. What you laughing at? Okay, so listen. You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 28, brought to you by actionfigureblues.com. I'm Scott, and with me tonight are
Adam
and Ben.
We're three guys living in Australia who collect action figures, statues, and other items from the world of comics and pop culture, and we like them so much we made this podcast just to talk about them. This episode, our toy of... yes, we're doing it again. That's just terrible.
Jeez, a taskmaster.
Hello, it's not the Paralympic version. I'm sorry. It's...
I do nothing right.
And Ben. Okay. This is the non-special needs version of the intro. And my bit was so good. But just to save having to edit it, we're going to do it all again. Okay, ready? Here we go. Less retarded from Ben in 5, 4, 3.